a deposit is going to be made if your heart is open. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it with conviction. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I'm going to have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. We thank you that your word is ever living. And it is able, Father, to direct us. You said in all of our ways, if we will acknowledge you, you will direct our path. So, Father, we come with an anticipation to hear from the Spirit of God today. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that everything that is said and everything that is done will be sensitive to your spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will register to every heart that no one will leave this place spiritually unfed or directed. And I thank you in advance for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow our lives as a matter as we focus on leaving with an intention of doing your word. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit again. And let me commend you as a church for your summer attendance while I was out. You know, for those of you who may not know, the month of July, I typically take the whole month out and some change to go on a sabbatical for three reasons. Number one, for refreshing, for refueling, and for refocusing. And a lot of times when a church knows that their pastor is not going to be there, they tend to shoot hooky. But look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you didn't shoot hooky this summer. So can you give yourselves a hand clap this morning? Can you give yourselves a hand clap for coming to church in August or July? So now, August has already started. So what I'm not going to do is start a new series. But what I am going to do is give you some solo messages. And another name for solo messages are some shotgun messages. You say, well, why do you call them shotgun messages? It's because I'm going to come in a little hot. So just look at somebody and tell them, I think he's going to come in hot today. So once you get your notes, you'll be able to follow me. If you're online, hopefully they're on there. But the message title today is Chosen for the Challenge. You have been chosen for the challenge. Everybody say, I have been chosen for the challenge. Now, the purpose of the message is to give us as believers the right perspective regarding trouble, give us an understanding of why trouble sometimes come, and then hopefully I'm going to provide you with some type of roadmap to victory when trouble hits your house. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not in no trouble right now. Good for you. This might be a message you might have to put on the shelf, but there are some people that I know in this room that are watching that are in the midst of some trouble. So what I want to do is start in a book that most people are aware of. Now, here's what's interesting. This book, if you are unemployed, when you read it, you're going to read it job. But it's really pronounced Job. And the book of Job is about a man who experienced some great trouble in his life. And here's the kicker about what happened to Job. The trouble that he experienced, he did not even deserve it. And here is why I'm mentioning this on the front end, because there is a subtle lie in the mind of most believers that think this. Well, if I do everything right, if I live right, if I do right, if I act right, trouble should not happen to me. But somebody say that's a lie. That's a lie. So let's just jump into point number one if you're taking notes or following me. And that is, and here's why trouble comes. Maybe trouble came. Maybe you got picked. And that's why you're being hit. Maybe you got picked. See, the perspective I'm going to give you today is there is some trouble that has hit your life, and it only hit you because you got picked. So Job chapter 1 verse 8, I'm reading out of the King James Version. I'm going to switch versions this morning, but for right now, we're going to stick with the King James Version. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz, and his name was what? Job. If you're unemployed, say job. And that man was a perfect man. Listen to how he was described. He was a perfect man. He was an upright man. He was a man that feared God. And he was a man that avoided evil. And there were born unto this man 7 sons and 3 daughters. This man had 10 kids. And his substance, or his property, everything that he owned. Listen to some of this stuff. He had 7,000 sheep. Everybody say, that's a lot of sheep. And he had 3,000 camels. Everybody say, that's a lot of camels. I mean, think about the land you had to have all these animals. And then he had 500 yoke of oxen. Everybody say, that's a lot of oxen. And then it even says he had 500 she-asses. That's a lot of asses. Stay focused. I set you up for that. And it says that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went, and they were feasting in their homes, everyone his day. And they sent and called for their sisters to eat and to drink with them. They were turning up. And in verse 5 it says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. He rose up early in the morning and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. In other words, he offered 10 offerings. Because Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And so the Bible says Job did this continually. Watch verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Let me just give you a highlight here. That phrase, sons of God, in most cases in the Bible, refers to angels and divine beings. And divine beings can be, they can be evil and they can be good. They can be good or they can be bad. And the Bible says in verse 7, the Lord said to Satan, who's talking? The Lord, he said to Satan, when you come, he says, where are you coming from? And Satan answered and said, well, I'm going to and fro in the earth. I'm just walking up and down in it. And this lines up with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Hopefully they'll put it on the screen, which says, the Bible tells us in the New Testament to be sober. Look at your neighbor and say, put Jack down. Be sober. Y'all know what Jack I'm talking about. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, he's as a roaring lion. What is he doing? He's walking around and he's seeking who he can eat up. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you, watch this now, listen to this question. Look at your neighbor and say, you done been picked. He says, have you considered my servant Job? He said, hey, there's none like him in the earth. He's a perfect man and an upright man. He's a man that fears me, and he's a man that avoids evil. Man, you got God describing this man to the devil. And that word perfect there means one who lacked nothing and, watch this, and was morally and ethically pure. God said, have you considered him? Listen to how the New Living Translation asked that question. The Lord said and asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless. He's a man of complete integrity. He fears God and he stays away from evil. Listen to the voice translation. Well, this is the ghetto version. He says, well, have you looked into the man Job, my servant? He is unlike any other person on the whole earth. He is a very good man. His character is spotless. His integrity is unquestioned. In fact, he so believes in me that he seeks in all things to honor me, and he deliberately avoids evil in all of his affairs. Boy, it sounds like God had a lot of confidence in Job. Well, here's a take-home statement when you get your notes. God's confidence in us is way higher than our confidence in him. God was not only bragging on Job, but he brags on us too. And maybe that's why you're going through some crazy stuff in your life right now. Maybe, touch your neighbor and say, you better pay attention to what he's saying. Maybe God picked you and he said to the devil, have you considered my servant Eben? Have you considered my servant Pastor Lisa? Have you considered my servant Dennis? Have you considered my servant? See, so some of y'all going, don't say my name, Pastor. Don't say my name. You so scared of the devil? The devil is a lie. Listen to Job chapter 1, verse 9, and then we're going to get into the message. Here we go. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has a good reason to fear you. You've always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything that he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Watch what God's answer is. He says, all right. You may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So watch this, church. Satan left the Lord's presence. Let's see what happened. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at his older brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with some news and said, your oxen were plowing with the donkeys, feeding beside them. And when the Sabaeans, which raided us, they stole all the animals and they killed all the farmhands. And I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you that. But while this guy was talking, another person showed up and said, hey, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. And I'm the only one that's escaped to tell you. But while that guy was still talking, a third person arrived and said, listen, three bands of the Chaldeans raided and stole your camels and killed all your servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. But while he was still, touch your neighbor, say, you ain't in no trouble like Job. While he was still talking, another messenger arrived with news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their older brother's home, but suddenly a powerful wind, we call that a tornado in Texas, swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed and all your children are dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. And Job stood up. He tore his robe in grief. He shaved his head. He fell down to the ground and he did what, church? He worshiped. I want you to notice the first thing that Job did when trouble hit his house. He didn't cry about it. He didn't whine about it. He didn't complain about it. The Bible says instead of worrying, he worshiped. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Because Job suffered well. Listen, church, Job got picked by God and didn't even know it. And here's the thing. He couldn't see that he got picked by God. Therefore, he couldn't see behind the spiritual curtain because it looked like God did all that. No, God allowed it, but the devil did it. In fact, what we read about with the devil lines up with John 10:10. The Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and what? Well, that's what happened. They stole his animals, they killed his workers, and a fire came down from heaven and destroyed the shepherds. And you say, well, now, Pastor, God did that. No, God allowed that, but the devil did it. And there's a big difference. In fact, let me point something out. See, Job thought that God did all that stuff. When we know now, because we have the Bible, that God allowed it to happen. You say, well, Pastor, why did God allow this? See, that's one of the points of the message today. See, everybody wants a testimony, but nobody wants to go through the test. Maybe, church, just maybe, you got picked by God to go through the hell you're going through and you didn't know it. Maybe God picked you. Here's a take-home statement. God picked Job. God picked Jesus. Why won't he pick you? Oh, I'm going to say that on this side because some of y'all looking like, oh my God, oh my God. God picked Job. He picked Jesus. Why wouldn't he pick you? See, you got to understand, he picked you because he knew you had an overcomer on the inside of you. Job did not know that God had picked him. And here's the problem. Touch your neighbor and say, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Most of the time, our constant question is, God, why me? At church, listen, I feel you. But the problem with that question is, it makes going through challenges and difficulties all about us. But see, when you live in faith and you live in the faith world, when you experience its challenges, you'll understand that what you go through ain't all about you. Here's what I mean by that. You and I wouldn't even understand the depth of how God can bring somebody out of difficulty had this not happened to Job. We wouldn't know that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think had we not seen him allow somebody else before us to go through trouble and for God to bring them out. In other words, when you and I have this mentality that's focused all about us, it makes, watch this, our problems bigger and our God smaller. When you have a why me mentality, your focus is all about you. And watch this, God was looking past Job and he was thinking about us. Because Jesus told us up front, he said, in this world, you're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've already overcome the world. Say amen to that. So God was looking past Job and he was thinking about us. And he used the difficulty that Job went through, watch this church, to give us a front row seat to Overcoming Adversity University. We can look back now and see what God did. We don't just have, watch this, the first part of Job. We know what happened at the end of Job. He didn't just do that to Job. He also did it to Jesus. Did you know he picked Jesus to die? I mean, that's some serious picking right there. That's like you ain't done nothing and they picked you to be on death row. Your turn. What? But see, Jesus knew that what he was going through was not about him, but it was about you. He knew, watch this, 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for in Adam all died, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus knew what he did or had to do was all about you. And we are so self-centered. We are so immature. Yeah, I said it. We're so immature because we're making going through about us. We're missing the biggest lesson. And that is, maybe God is taking you through for a reason. So let's logically talk about this, and then we're going to go down into this hole. We ask questions like, Lord, why you let my ex cheat on me? Lord, why my kids, why they grown, acting like I didn't teach them nothing in the Bible? Lord, why at work am I working for Lucifer's cousin? See, when we think like that, we're saying, watch this, Lord, why me? And the Lord is saying, why not you? Amen. So I'm about to turn a hard right real quick. So hold on and connect your seatbelt. Here's point number two if you're taking notes. Because why in the world would God choose you and me for a challenge? Here's why. It's because when God sees you, he views the overcomer in you. I'm going to say that again. When God sees you, he sees the overcomer in you. See, the problem with us is we don't see the right image that God has of us, that he has given us. All we're seeing are the frailties of ourselves. We're seeing the issues from ourselves. We're seeing the problems from ourselves. But when God sees us, he views the overcomer in us. He's looking through a glass called the overcomer's glass. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? See, God is good how often? All the time. And all the time what? So let me tell you how good he is. He will never allow a temptation or a trial to come your way if he knew you couldn't handle it. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the King James says, there has no temptation. How many know no temptation is no temptation? He says there is no temptation, and that word temptation means adversity, temptation or trial. He says there is no adversity, temptation or trial that is taking you than such that is common to man. But God, he is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or go through adversity or go through a trial above that which you are able. But he will with that make a way of escape so you're able to bear it. So if you're going through something right now, church, I'm telling you, God would not allow you to go through it if he know he couldn't get you through it. Let me read that in the Amplified here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says in verse 13, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. Nor is there any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is what, church? He's faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy, and he will not let you be tempted above or beyond your ability to resist, but along with the temptation, he has in the past, and he will now, and he will always provide the way out as well, so you will be able to endure it without yielding and overcoming temptations. And church, let me tell you something. Sometimes the way out is the way through. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil. Why? Because he's with me. And while he's with me and I'm going through, he says his rod and his staff will comfort me. Some of us are praying the wrong prayer. Lord, take me out. And he said, no, I'm going to take you through. Listen to the Message translation, and then I'm getting ready to close. All right, here we go, here we go, here we go. Maybe I can feel a little playing behind me in just a second. Figure it out. I don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere. Because the end, I'm going to give you an ice cream cone with a cherry on top. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 in the Message translation says, no test or no temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. And see, I know some of y'all, don't push me because I'm close to the, get off the edge. Get, look at your neighbor and say, get off the edge, get off the edge, get off of it. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He will always be there to help you come through. Here's a take-home statement, church. That means, church, if I'm in it, I can win it. Did you hear what I said? I said, if you are in it, you can win it. If you're going through it, God already sees victory on the other side of it. So, church, let's quickly think this through. If you and I had, as parents, a life management control center regarding our kids, I have a question for you. Would you allow your kids to face something they couldn't handle? No, 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 no. So if we had the ability to keep our kids out of stuff that we know they couldn't handle, if we, being good and natural parents, would do that, how much more if God would not allow us to go through something unless there was something on the inside of us that's bigger than what we could see. And the fact that I'm going through it is his proof to me that he already knows that I'm an overcomer and that I can believe he's going to walk me through that. Because church, let me give you a news flash. Touch your neighbor and say, he closing right now. Yeah, let me give you a news flash, church. The devil has been defeated. I said the devil has been defeated. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 in the Amplified says Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities. Those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, Jesus disarmed them. He made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal possession. And Jesus triumphed over these evil spirits through the cross. So listen, church, if the devil has been defeated, then we are fighting a loser. The problem is, just because a person is a loser doesn't mean I still don't have to fight them. But see, what we have to remember is that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Therefore, that means the fight that I'm fighting him with, I'm really not fighting him. It's my faith fighting him. Because the Bible says we fight the what? The good fight of faith. I'm fighting that good fight. So let me explain this as I bring this down a little bit. Let me explain, and here's the cherry on the top right here. Let me explain how you need to face difficulty. This is how you face hard times. This is how you deal with the devil. How many remember what a BCR is? You old, that's why. They don't even make them no more. If you don't know what it is, ask somebody who had their hand up. I ain't got time to explain it to you. But when you're dealing with challenges, you have to have a BCR attitude, especially when it comes to dealing with the devil. Well, what's the purpose of a BCR? The BCR, the tape footage, is of a show that has already happened. In other words, watch this. The devil will always try to put videotape footage in your life and try to control what you think by what he decides to put inside of your VCR. But see, you got to remember, all he's trying to show you is your old life, your losses, and your limitations. But see, when you understand what I know, you got to know and you got to believe I'm the one that controls the videotape in my life. No. When he tries to put the tape in, I say, oh, no. Eject that tape. And then what I do, I start my own tape. And I start it wherever I want to start it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, I'm a new creature. The old stuff that I went through is gone away, and new stuff is coming. In fact, if I get through some difficulties and I start struggling, then I fast forward my VCR tape to Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And if I start feeling anxious and anxiety, start feeling some pressure because of what's happening around me, I have to open up now. I have to fast forward my VCR onto 1 John 4:4 that says, you are of God, Eben, and you are greater, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So church, maybe God picked you so that you could be a living epistle to those who are around you. So let me close by giving you the reason why God chose Job, and maybe he chose you. What if, oh, this is so good right here. What if this trouble that you are in is leading you to double? I'm gonna ask the question on this side. What if what you are going through, this trouble, is actually leading you to double? You say, well, why you say that, Pastor Evan? Well, let's fast forward the VCR tape to Job chapter 42, verse 10 in the Amplified. It says God restored Job's fortunes. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. The Message translation said, after Job had interceded for his friends, God restored his fortune. And then God doubled it. Maybe your double is coming from your trouble. Maybe, just maybe, God is answering the prayer that you prayed and said, Lord, bless me with more, Lord. Bless me with more, Lord. And God is saying, I'll bless you with more, but you got to go through some more because I got to give you double of what you had. Sometimes God's next level, church, and his increase in our life doesn't come from just him giving us a simple blessing. Sometimes it comes by us overcoming some things. God picked you so that you can go through. So here's how we're going to apply this word today. Because see, some of y'all are going through some stuff. And your mentality right now is focused on what you're going through. But see, if you keep that mentality, you'll get weary in well-doing. Because your eye is on the wrong thing. No. You're looking at the trials. You're looking at the waves. You're looking at the wind. And God is saying, don't look at that. I gave you a preview of Job's life to show you he went through to get to. Amen. And I believe there's some double coming in your life. I believe there's some double. I said, I believe there's. How many going through something right now? Who am I talking to? There's some double coming. There's some double coming. There's some double coming. See, you can't hear me from a natural standpoint. You got to hear now what God is saying to you. There's some double coming. There's some double coming. So stop ducking it. So how are we going to sit down? How are we going to apply this? Well, number one, you got to change your perspective of why trouble comes. Because sometimes trouble comes to promote us. Number two, let your challenges lead you to worship and not worry like Job did. Number three, reprogram your VCR tape, your mind, with the word so that you don't faint in times of adversity. And then you got to remember if you're in it to win it. Everybody say, if I'm in it, I can win it. With every head bowed and every eye closed. There are some people in the room. You're in the middle of trouble right now. Trouble is on every side. Seems like you get something straightened out and then something else pops up. You get one kid right and then this kid gets off. You get something straight on your job and next thing you know, a whirlwind shows up. But God wants you to know, if you'll trust him, he'll walk you through that. And at the end of it, you will have double for your trouble. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do with what was said. And the trials and the difficulties that your people are in or maybe getting ready to walk through, let us know and remind us that as we go through, you are with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But Father, help our mindsets to not just be on what we're going through. Help it to be what we're going to. And I proclaim in Jesus' name, double for the trouble. Because there's some of you who have just gotten out of trouble. You just got out. And you suffered well. There's a reward on the end. So, Lord, I thank you for a double taking place in their lives in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my question. Are you here today? If I ask you if you died, are you ready to go to heaven?